I want you to take your books, go to page 115. We're going to be reading page 115 and 116. If you don't have a book, get next to somebody and look as I read. Before I start to read, on page 115, there's a word called nephorious. You see that word? That's something we don't use on a daily basis, and honestly, some we've never heard of. But I want to give you the definition of that before we read, okay? It means to be corrupt, degenerate, vicious, or vigilant. And on the second page, go to 116, malevolent. You see that word at the bottom? Malevolent. We don't use that word, but I want to give you a definition. It means wishing evil or harm to others. Okay. So when we get to those words, I'm going to probably say a different word, which is the definition. Like for that word, I'll probably say evil. Okay. For the first one, nefarious, I'll probably say corrupt. Okay. So we'll know what that is. Okay. All righty. It says February 22nd, the evil twins. Oh, it's like the evil twins. The scripture, Song of Solomon 8:6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most venomous flame. Now we're going to start reading, okay? It says, jealousy and envy are twin sisters that are difficult to separate. It can even be hard to identify one from the other. However, they are very different and have separate, corrupt goals. Jealousy says, this is mine, and I will not share it with you. Envy says, I see what you have, and I will do anything I can to take it from you. Both jealousy and envy emphasize an evil and selfish desire. Marriage is built upon mutual trust, the second page, and respect. We are jealous in an appropriate way for our spouse's affection. However, when that jealousy becomes domineering, resentful, untrusting, it brings great harm to the relationship. There is nothing wrong with wanting to better oneself. There is nothing wrong in taking steps to gain all that God wants to bless us with. But when envy becomes a dominating force, it can drive us towards the sin of covetousness. The grace of God holds the key to overcoming either of these two evil influences. Place your faith in the ability of the Holy Spirit to work in you due to Christ's work on the cross. You will be sure to find the joy of living free from both harmful jealousies and unseemly envy. Interesting. If you would take your Bibles as we make our declaration before Him, I want you to repeat after me if you would like to. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stretch forth your hands towards me as I pray for myself. Thank you. I appreciate that. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you for who you are. But Father, I pray that you'd help me to preach your word with power and authority, Lord. Let the preacher, the gift that you've given me, and the teacher, the gift that you've given me, to come out this day, Lord God. And Father, I pray that this word would penetrate my heart and the hearts of your people. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone who is watching here live or watching us from live on phone there. If you would, I want you to, this is a number three of Job. 2 weeks ago, I talked on Job last week, and we're going to be ending it today. I just felt I couldn't say all that I said 2 weeks ago and last week without getting to the end of what God can do. Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, upright, and one who feared God and eschewed or hated evil." So here we see this man was perfect. That means his ways towards God was perfect. He was an upright man. He feared God and he hated evil. I want you to look at verse 8. God says this again about him. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man who fears God and eschews or hates evil?" So here we see he's saying it again. And we know this. It says that Satan went to the Lord. He has some kind of access that God allows him to go to him. And he said, "I've looked to and fro, and I haven't seen anybody, you know, that will serve you out of a pure heart towards you." And God looks at him. See, God knows the future. Slewfoot, the enemy, does not know the future. He's limited. That's why he slings back the things of old towards you that maybe we did wrong. That's all he can work with. His hands are always in the past working to sling it back unto you. He can't do the future because only God can do the future. And so here we see God, Satan goes to the Lord and he says, well, and God says, "Well, you know, look at my servant Job." And so God gives him limits. You can go and you can do whatever you want to do to him, but you cannot harm his body or his bones, the flesh or the bones. Oh, he said, okay. He said, "Job, he'll fall. He'll curse you, Lord." See, God knows the future, and God had faith in Job because there was a relationship there. And old Slewfoot went out, and he killed or destroyed all of his animals, his sheep, his oxen. I mean, this man was rich. Job was a very rich man. One probably he might have been the richest person at that time. He took his sons and his daughters, killed them, and Job didn't say anything against the Lord. He did probably one of the greatest things ever known to man. He sat there and kept his mouth shut. That's hard for us, because we like to speak our minds sometimes. And there's a place where we may need to say something. But sometimes there's a place where we need to kind of be a little quiet. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Job never cursed God. He didn't understand what was going on. You have to remember, he did not know where all of this was coming from. He knew probably this is not good because it's affecting him. His sons, his daughters, that was the ultimate thing to him. Died all together in one day. It says it must have been some kind of whirlwind that came up and struck all four corners of the house, and the house collapsed and killed every one of them. Now, not that they were godly children, because they were not. But Job loved his children. And that hurt him severely on the inside. And I'm sure Satan thought, oh, I got him. He's an accursed God. He's an accursed God. He's going to tell God he hates him. He's going to curse him. But he didn't. He would say, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. Can you imagine? From the time his first temptation or to do evil towards him to the end, some theologians think it could have been a month. It doesn't exactly say. It could have been a couple of months. Could have been a year. Could have been up to 7 years, this span of time. We don't know for sure. But can you imagine what was going on in his life, not knowing what's going on, what's happening, why? You know, how many times have we gone to God, and, you know, and things are happening in our lives, and we say, why, Lord? I don't understand. I don't understand this. And there's no answer. Okay, let's just take it for a grain of salt that it lasted the 3 months. That's a long time, huh? 1 month, 1 day is a long time. Can you imagine a year or even 7 years? Oh, my Lord. What a horror. But he never lifted his voice against God to curse him or say anything evil. He questioned, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. We know the picture. And old Slewfoot comes around again to the Lord. Because they have to give an account. Do you understand that? That Slewfoot, I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about all the demon, evil spirits, angels, demons, or even godly angels. They have to give an account to God. That's how powerful your Father is. Ooh. Makes you want to take a step back a little bit. That God is in control of your life because you invited him into your heart and life. He is in control. When he calls them into account, and there's actually, they got to go to him. And old Slewfoot went the second time, and we're going to read that in Job chapter 2. Look at this. Look at verse 1 to 3. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. That's talking about Satan and all of them. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. They seemed to believe that he, as the demon spirits or the angels would go before the Lord, he would follow them because he was the leader of them. And the Lord said unto Satan, come from where do you come? And Satan answered to the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That's number two. Okay. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and hates evil. That's the third time he says this about this man. But he adds something else, and he says this. And still he holds fast his integrity, although you move me against him to destroy him without cause. And the verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has will he give for his life. The verse 5, and put forth your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you to your face. This is what Satan says. Okay, Lord, you didn't let me touch his bone or his flesh. See how powerful your God is? He is in control. The Satan can't come and do what he wants to do to you in his own way. If he could do what he wants to do to you and I, he would kill us. Yeah. To get rid of us, and he would hope that we would curse God before we die so we could split hell wide open. Yeah. He will try to steal our soul and destroy everything within our families. That's what he'd try to do. But you see, our God is in control. God says, okay, you can go now to Job again, because Job passed the first test, if you want to say it that way, and there was no evil found in him. But God says he's gained integrity. And also it says, now Satan, you go. Now you can touch his bones and his flesh. It says, and I know I talked about this last week, it says that boils came all over his body, from the top of the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Can you imagine we taking the time of 3 months? We're going to play with that time. 1 month, 1 day is horror. They called it, as you can see in the context, they called it elephantitis. That's what it was called. It says there was boils everywhere. Every part of his skin had boils on. There was no just flat skin. It was boils. And there was a mucus or a fluid that would come out of it. It was very painful and smelled horrible. And it says that Job would scratch himself trying to get rid of the fluid and the smell, but it smelled worse than ever before. That's what God allowed to happen to him. But yet he still served the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. My Lord. No matter what. See, we don't understand everything. But whatever we go through, God is in control. God is in control because we have given him our lives. It says this, that he had three friends. My Lord, what friends they were. One was called Eliphaz. The next one was called Bildad, and the third one was called Zophar. These three guys, it says in scriptures, that they came to Job because they found out Job had been sitting there in ashes, full of boils, never being able to find a comfortable place to lay down or sleep or roll over. Nothing was comfortable because it hurt so much. These three guys, they came to him and they sat with him for a week or so. Didn't say a word. Then all of a sudden, after a week or so, Job says a little bit of something. And these three guys go one-on-one with Job. They're supposed to be his friends, his friend. Supposed to be there to help him. Eliphaz goes to him and says, you must be wicked, Job. You must confess your sins because there is sin in your life. There's evil in your life. Eliphaz concludes that Job is wicked. Because he says, you know what? Innocent people aren't punished. He argues that all of Job's past public and private acts of goodness were for show and to cover up his real self. You know what Job did? After Eliphaz went to him three times and told him all kinds. You can read chapters about this man. He went to him and told him stuff. And Job would say, Job would go and speak to the Lord. That's a man. It says that Bildad, he considered Job a hypocrite. You know, a hypocrite is one that says something in public, but he does something other in private. Bildad says that if Job was as pure and upright as he was, then he too would be prosperous and not in this condition. What he was doing was lifting himself up, saying, Bildad is prosperous. I'm not like Job. Three times he went to Job like that. Can you imagine? Zophar calls Job a not just a hypocrite, but a lying hypocrite. Zophar urges Job to repent and quit sinning. You know what Job did? Job prays to the Lord. Everything that came against Job, Job went to the Lord with. That's a lesson, people. That's a lesson. Everything that comes against you, go to the Lord first. First. Give it to him. Let him handle it. Ask God to give you wisdom. What to do. How to do it. Job didn't know what was going on, but he knew he trusted his Lord. He trusted his Lord. After all of these guys did all that they did, it says there was another guy named Elihu, E-L-I-H-U, that came and spoke to all three of those guys and said they already know what they were doing. And Job, you're a sinner. My Lord, getting on the bandwagon. Job chapter 2, look at verse 5. It says, but put forth your hand now and touch his bone in his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a pot sheared to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now this is verse 9 and 10. We'll get this while we're here. Then said his wife unto him, this is Job's wife, do you still retain your integrity? Remember what God said about his integrity first? Curse God and just die. But 10. And he said unto her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? My Lord, my Lord. We want to take the good, but we don't want to take the evil that God allows to happen so that we trust him more than ever before. My Lord. You know, it's an amazing thing about his wife. She didn't die with the sons and daughters. You might say, well, why? Because remember this. This is something I read, and I thought, this is good. You know, when you become married, you become one. Is that truth? Yes, you're one. God saw Job and his wife as one. And the limitation of Satan was that he could not steal or take the life of Job, which related to his wife, even though she said, curse God and die. God still saw the marriage as a unit of believers unto him, one unit, and saved and protected her. And we're going to see in the end that they had sons and daughters. He never remarried. This was his only wife. And God blessed him. Look, I want you to turn to Job chapter 38. Now you might say, golly, all the way back. All in this, talking about Eliphaz and talking about all the three amigos and what they did to the man, Job. The ungodly counsel they gave to him. Just horrible, horrible. Remember when trials come your way? And I know we need people to help, and I'm not trying to belittle that at all, but I tell you what, you go to God first. Don't get on that phone too much. It may not help, but go to God first and let's see what God can do. Look at chapter 38. Well, let's read it. Verse 1. 2 and 3, it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by the words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of you and answer you me. Now look at this. From chapter 1, when God gave Satan liberty to go and do all those things to Job, taking all his possession, becoming one of the richest men, or might have been the richest, and down to zero. The second one was now that the boils all throughout his body, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. The second one, and he still stood there, not knowing what's going on at all. Didn't understand what was going on. Had three friends come and almost curse at him, tell him to curse God. You must be a sinner. You did something evil. There's sin in your life. And he just sat there, people, in the boils, in the ashes, sackcloth on, scraping away. And I bet you, many a nights and many a days, tears came down his eyes. No one there to wipe it. No one there, the three amigos, instead of helping him and encouraging him and maybe giving him a handshake or hugging him a little bit, they stayed away from him. Oh, yeah, we, but far away, just enough we can see him. I mean, look, it was so bad when those three guys were coming, they didn't even recognize him. It was so bad. Oh, but we live in a church world today that evil doesn't happen to God's people. And if you're not rich, something's wrong with you. We want the blessings of the Lord, but we don't serve God to get a blessing. We serve God because he's God. And whatever he wants to do, now God wants to pour out a blessing upon us. Yes. But why are we serving him? Why? What is our intentions with him? God wants to bless, but let me tell you, that shouldn't be why. We should want to serve him because we love God. And he's brought us out of sin. And we're going to be with him in the future. My Lord, he lives in our hearts and lives. As he's sitting there, months are going by, if you want to say it that way. Could have been years if it was the 7 years. Just sitting there. Honestly, probably in despair. He even says in one part, Lord, why did you even let me come out alive out of my mother's womb? I mean, he's desperate to get out, people. Can you imagine in pain all the time? You know, and I know, you know, some of you say, I know what it is to be in pain, you know, yeah. But boils all over, in pain, the smell, you can't take a bath. I mean, it's just, it's there, it's horror. People don't want to be by you. You know, they're calling you all kinds of names. They're calling you hypocrite, a lying hypocrite, all kinds of evil. Yet he sits there and he keeps looking up to the Lord, not cursing God at all. At all. There's no evil coming out of his mouth towards God. He loves God. He doesn't understand it. Many of things as Christians we don't understand, but we serve God no matter what happens. If everything is taken from us, we'll serve him. If we lose all our money, we will serve him. If everything goes down the drain, we serve him. Because he is our only hope. And he is the only hope for the future. And as he sat there in despair, tears probably coming down, not knowing what to do, it says a whirlwind, the power of God. He didn't know. See, we read the story and we know what happens. But the power of the Holy Spirit stepped in on that day. He probably had a horrible night, couldn't face life anymore, wanted to maybe just take his life if he could, but he wouldn't do it. He wanted to die. Lord, take me, kill me, take me. God, a whirlwind is just an atmospheric power of the Holy Ghost came as a whirlwind and came and spoke to Job. What did he tell him first? He said, Job, stand up like a man. God was starting to heal his body then. He said, stand up, stand up. And God started to talk with him. My Lord. He saw God like he never saw God before, people. He passed the test. We need to pass the test. Come on now. God is looking for people that will trust him more than ever before. Pass that test of whatever it is coming our way. No matter what's going on in life. That we keep our trust in him. And the Lord, you know what? As he's talking with him, gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you an answer from him. And he starts talking about creation to him. Can you imagine? God came in power, and he just starts talking to Job about creation, like how it was made and what's going on. Then he talks to him, and he describes creation, but he talks to him about Leviathan, which is the enemy. That's Satan, the chapter 41. Describing him, what he's like and what he's doing. Then he gets to chapter 42. My Lord, that's what we want. Let's start reading at verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from you. That's 1 and 2. Verse 3. Who is he who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Verse 4. Here I beseech you, I will speak, I will demand of you and declare you unto me. Verse 5. O my Lord, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, and now my eyes see you. Look. Oh, we want the power and the presence of Almighty God. Are we willing to pay the price? Don't shout me down now. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to get up at all hours of the night, if God wakes us up, and to start praying like never before? Are we willing to obey him? Because it says, verse 5, and so my Job, I have heard of you, Lord, by the hearing of my ear, I've heard of you. Now my eyes, can you imagine? Job was seeing God in the flesh. The God that allowed all that to happen to him, he's seeing him in the flesh. The God that created everything from the beginning to where he is that day. The God that has done extraordinary things. The power of God. He's seeing the creator of the world. He's seeing God. My Lord, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord, verse 7, had spoken these things. You see, there was fellowship. And let me tell you this. When God starts to restore a person, because the enemy will try to destroy a person, the life of debauchery. When God starts to restore a person, he has fellowship with that person. He speaks to them. He loves them. He shows them love and help. And after all that was done, and the horror that Job went through, God was restoring him. And I know some of you have come from backgrounds that are horrible. Horrible things that should never happen to a human being. Ever. But God had to come into your life, restore your soul, restore yourself, and speak to you face to face. days. My God. What a God we serve. Now look at this. After that process was gone, it says in verse 7, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz. Who's Eliphaz? That's one of the three guys that went to Job and told him all kind of evil. Now, God is God. You might say, well, how did he speak? I don't know how he spoke to Eliphaz. And it says, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends. Oh, my Lord. So the three guys are in trouble. For you have not spoken of me the things that is right as my servant Job has. He was setting those friends straight. He was telling them, Bildad, Zophar, you are wrong. What you did to Job and what you spoke to him about and what you said about him being a hypocrite, a lying hypocrite, a sinner, evil in his heart, that he only did things to get praise unto himself, was not true. Let me tell you this. People will say things about you and I that are not truth. Don't worry about it. God will defend you. He will do it. I've seen it in my personal life, my Lord, where somebody just happened to be there and will stand and say, no, that's not truth. God will defend. And look at this, verse 8. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job. Now look, this could not have been easy for those three guys. They had to go get 7 bullocks and 7 rams. 7 is the number of what? Perfection. That's right. That's God's perfect number. He says, you go get 7 of both of these. And you go to Job. He didn't say, come to me. Talking about the Lord yet. He said, go to Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. The cross of Calvary, let me tell you, is the only answer. My servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. These three guys had to go to Job with 7 bullocks, 14 animals, to go unto him. And they had to ask Job to go to God on their behalf. God takes things serious, people. He's a serious God. Yes, he's a joyful God and loves us. But he takes things serious. What they did to Job was not overlooked by God. We gotta watch what we say, what we do, because let me tell you, God may keep, we may have to give an account unto him on this earth. Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful. That doesn't mean you don't say the truth, but you gotta say things in love towards that will help people. And let me tell you, they had to go to Job. And if Job would have said, oh no, I'm not going. See, God had, he met with the Lord. He saw God face to face. God, Job knew what he had to do. Job knew what he had to do. And he would do anything he can to help his friends because he met with the Savior, you see. Something happens when you meet with God. Something happens. He changes your heart and he changes my heart and he changes our lives. And as we have great fellowship with him, we have great fellowship this way also. Oh, my Lord, that's what we got to watch. I know I told you about the church that had a fist fight in the church. I told you about the church that they had they were on odds with each other. So they split the church in half. Serious. This is serious. This is sad but serious. Tape down the middle. They had one side of the building. They had the other side of the sanctuary. And they had their services. But don't look over the line because you hated the one next door. What sad situation. Can you imagine you in church and there's a fist fight and you have to call the police to come and take care of church members because they fight? Boy, what a testimony. Yes, we love people. Okay. Love them to death. Okay. Thank you that you're not like that. Thank you. You're a pleasure to pastor. I'll tell you that. Look at verse 8 again. Pray Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. Oh, my Lord. So Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar went and did according as the Lord commanded them. Now, I have to give credit for that. They did as the Lord commanded. And the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Everything changed. Let me tell you this. Don't have hatred in your heart towards anybody. I'm talking about hate. Like we talked about envy and jealousy and all that. I'm talking about hate. Don't have hate in your heart towards somebody. You might say, well, how do I deal with it, Pastor? You go to God first. You say, Lord, help me with this. Can't you imagine how Jesus felt when Judas, you know, went up to him and kissed him? A kiss of deceit. This is the Savior. They come arrest him. I mean, you know, can you imagine one of his 12 that he labored with and loved and took care of would deceive him? You might say, how could Job go and do these sacrifices? You know why? Because he met with the Savior. And when he heard the Savior, and when he saw the Savior, nothing comes to that measure, people. When you hear the voice of the Lord, or you hear the Spirit of God speak to you here, nothing can measure that in that relationship with him towards hate towards somebody. That doesn't mean you don't like what people do. We have to hate the sin, but not the sinner. Oh, we hate what they do, but we don't hate who they are as far as a person. And I know that's hard, especially when you've been hurt by people, huh? Hurt by a spouse, hurt by a mother, hurt by a father, hurt by a sibling, hurt by a close friend, you know, hurt by an aunt or an uncle or a family friend. You know, it hurts. But I tell you what, the key is this. You go to the Lord. And you say, Lord, you've made me. You can heal me. You can restore my life. Because you see, if you don't let God restore you, you're going to walk around with a limp in the spirit realm. Because it will affect your whole life. It will affect how your relationship is with your family and friends and your spouse and your children. But I tell you what, if you go to God and you let him restore and he starts to do a mighty work in you, when you restore, he got up as a man because God told him. And he saw God. God restored this man back to what he was before. Now look at this. I'm going over a little bit, but I need to finish this, okay? Won't be long. It says this in verse 10, the latter part. It says, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all who had bread with him in the house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought unto him. Now you have to remember, God allowed it to happen. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. My Lord. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep now. It's a lot of sheep to shear, huh? 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of, that's double. Everything's doubled. And 1,000 she asses. And then look at verse 13. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, the same as before, with his same wife. And he called the name of the first, and he named them all. And it says this, verse 16. And after this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, and even 4 generations. It says that he lived 140 years after this all came about. This came about at the age of 70. He lived another 140 years. That means he died at 210 years old. God gave him twice. Whatever we go through, let's pass the tests. Let's get to the other side. Okay? Let's get to the other side. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what's going on. No matter what's happening in our lives. We pray, God, get us to the other side. Get us to the other side. And it's an amazing thing. Job trusted God more than ever before. You know, really honestly, God is trying to deepen your trust with him more than ever before. He's trying to deepen his relationship with you and I. That we just aren't just friends every once in a while, but that he is truly our Father and we are his children as we trust him. So don't ever think when things come your way, you've done something wrong. Now, if you have, you get it right before the Lord. But if you haven't, you say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Because he will take you out of that situation one day. One day. Amen. What?